Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always has the right thing to say. He speaks to us in our hearts. He loves us with purpose. He cares about us. We are made for God's pleasure. God likes to make people that can and bless their lives. He likes to see us thrive in life. That blesses God at his heart. And the more I learn about him, the more I want to preach his word, because God is richly good towards us all. Now, the Lord our God, he knows for a fact that we can choose to do the same things that he did. We can make the same choices that God made, such as God chose wisdom in the beginning of his way. He chose to operate by love. He chose to do the right thing. He chose to be a blessing. He chose to serve others. And we can do the same. We can make the same choices. Now, the way the Word of God works is, what we sow, we reap. If you go about doing good and being a blessing to people, you're doing positive things, you're blessing people, you're helping people. That means that the same thing is going to happen to you in abundance. But the enemy knows that if he can get you to operate negatively, the same laws of sowing and reaping is going to be a snare to you. And the Lord knows that if you follow him, your life is going to be wealthy, full of all sorts of blessings. But when people follow his enemy, your life will have curses in it, problems, unnecessary problems. Now, people don't altogether do one or the other. They do a mixture of both. And you have what you see. And then the enemy try to persuade society to call a normal life is somewhere between good and evil. And he's trying to form rebellion, but that'll take a long time. Rebellion takes more time than deception. He starts off deceiving people to just do what feels good, do what you like, do what seems pleasurable. And when people fall for the bait, there are hooks in the bait. And they get trapped. Now some people sin won't satisfy your life. Billy Graham said when people start sinning, at first it's fun, and then eventually it gets boring. But there's a snap to it. And it gets in your habit system, and you can't turn it off as easily as you turned it on. That's the danger of it. And when people love God, they tell people about Jesus, but the world focuses on what people do, and they don't think it'll be fun to do what's right all the time and not lie when it's to their favor and not just do what feels good to them, but do what's right. But the Word of God gives us much more than right and wrong. A sinner is not able to do what's right because sin is in him. It's in his nature. Just like a dog walks on four legs, he walks on four legs because it's in his nature. And men walk on two legs because it's in our nature. And there was once a feral child. She was raised by dogs, and she tried to walk around on four legs. And she walked around on her hands and knees and barked just like the dogs did. That's what she learned. But it wasn't natural, but it was in her nature because that she was raised by dogs. And people found her and got her back to health. But for a long time, that's how she lived her life. But it's not natural. And if sin is in your nature, we're born in it. It's in our nature at birth. Because We all bear fruit after our kind. When Adam had children in a fallen state, he didn't. If he had children before he disobeyed God, those children would have had the ability to never sin. And if they grew resilient to it and to deception, they could have stayed in their first state of being. And they would have had children, and those children would not have died. Now, sin is transferred from the male, not the woman, because the woman was deceived. And the New Testament scriptures explain it. But for sake of time, we're just going to point that out. It's in there. That's why Jesus was born of a virgin, because sin is not transferred through the woman. It's transferred through the male, because Adam willfully sinned, Eve was deceived. And God told Adam, and then Adam told Eve, but Eve was deceived. So our Savior came through a virgin. He was legally born, and he legally died for us. And that's why when you believe on Jesus, his blood washed away your sins by faith. And God recognizes those who believe on Jesus Christ. Now, the Old Testament is full of they had to offer sacrifices, animal sacrifices. Blood had to be shed to cover our sins, but it didn't wash it away. It just covered it, so man could relate to God again. If you stepped on the dead carcass, you couldn't even go in the temple. People don't appreciate what Jesus did because they don't read the Old Testament to see how righteous men live. The law was not fun to live in, to live under. But the law is given to let people know that we are sinners and we need help. Because we're used to sin, we don't think much of it. But sin restricts our lives in every way. Now, our nature gets changed when we believe on Jesus Christ. And then we have the life of God. And it's important to know about the new nature. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And those who believe on Jesus from the heart, it's not just about right. They have the ability to do what's right, and they desire to. Now, this means they can live. They can do things that sinners can't do. They can live in peace and fellowship with God. And they can relate to God. And they can understand things. They can learn from it. And they learn spiritually, whereas a sinner can't learn spiritually like a Christian can. The spiritual things, they don't make sense to a sinner. And sinners, people that never get saved, they see our dedication, but they don't understand it. I know, because I was a sinner. I didn't get saved when I was a child. Now, there are people who get saved when they're children, and they have the life of God in them, and they're not puzzled by the word of God. They can receive it because their spirit is lit, because they believed on Jesus, and if they stick with the word, they'll grow. But the only problem is they think everybody can do that, and they can't. Before I was a Christian, I used to wonder why my dad was so dedicated. I didn't know how he felt. I didn't know how my mother felt, my Christian mother felt. I didn't know they had peace. I was raised by them, so I acted right around them. They probably thought I was saved, but I wasn't. I was a sinner, and I know what it's like to be a sinner. Now, that sounds kind of harsh when you say sinner, but it's really not. It's a condition. You're born in it. Everybody's born in sin. And if you don't believe it, one day you're going to die. Angels don't die. If Adam had children that never sinned, they wouldn't die either. Anything that dies has sin in its nature. Yeah, but Christians die. I know. But they have a brand new spirit, and they will be resurrected. See, it has to be by faith. God had to organize everything so that it would be by faith and not sight. If everybody who believed on Jesus lived forever and stopped aging, and they had a new body just like they got a new spirit, then everybody will know that it works. Everybody could see that it works, and it wouldn't be by faith. But God is also searching for sincerity. People who will take him at his word by faith, because faith looks to God. And since we're three-part beings, our spirit man is made new the moment we believe on Jesus Christ. Our body will be resurrected in the future. And our mind, we can renew it day by day. But when Jesus Christ comes, we'll see the Lord as he is, and our mind will be completely renewed. But you can start living with a renewed mind as you study God's word, and you grow from glory to glory. See, the Lord got it situated so that people will focus on the right thing. They'll be attracted to God for the right reason, not just the good times and the miracles. People want something they can see. Miracles happen around people who love God. And miracles happen among people who are beginning to know God. God will do a miracle so that they'll have something to latch on to. And also because he's good. You believe on Jesus, then he can help you in your life. And God don't give miracles out. That's at his will for strategic reasons. Some people, they have addictions. And when they get saved, all their addictions are gone. Some people have to work them out of their life. Both of them are Christians. Some people are alcoholics, and they get saved and they struggle with it. But they have to learn how to resist it, because they can't. And some people, God will do a miracle and they have no taste for it anymore. Same thing with smoking and drugs and sometimes sex. But everybody who believes on Jesus Christ has power over sin. And those that never believed on Jesus Christ, they don't understand the spiritual things that Christians understand. That's what I'm trying to share. Now, the Lord loves us all. And these are the end days. He has to return. Now, this is not a time to be in strife, because the Lord's return is very soon, any day now. Imminent, it means any day. And these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com on the audio 3 page. And these broadcasts are longer on the audio on newlivingletters.com. They are 30 minutes long on the website. And let your friends know to go to newlivingletters.com, audio 3 page. Now, I said these are days that we don't need to be in strife, because where envy and strife is, according to James 3 and 16, it says, "For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." So you can avoid a lot of trouble by getting rid of envy and strife. A lot of people come from broken homes, divorces. And one thing, if you had to have a divorce, if for some reason a divorce happened, please don't be in strife. Parents, never groom the children against their father or mother. Don't teach them strife, because it already puts an unnecessary load on them. Divorce is bad enough, and I've been through one, but I never teach the children against their mother. I point out the good that she do. Everybody has good things about them. Your relationship may not work, but God made everybody. This is not the time to operate in forms of envy and strife. We need each other. And we need, if you can't be around a person and you don't get along, at least pray for them and don't tear them down in your heart. Because if you tear them down in your heart, it's going to come out of your mouth. And if it comes out of your mouth, that can be a problem. Then people get into unforgiveness. And we got a load of sins we need God to forgive. And if we don't forgive others, God won't forgive us. And we'll be left here when Jesus do his glorious return. He's taking obedient people with him. The stiff-necked, hard-headed people, he's going to leave them here. And that doesn't need to happen. People that let themselves get in strife, he's going to leave them here. He can't take them to heaven because they holding on to strife. And they won't forgive. We have to get strife, envy, things like that out of our heart. We don't have a right to tear people down. We all know we were born in sin. The Word of God said we is not silent about the fact that we were born in sin. And the people that are born in sin, they're going to sin against you just like they sinned against God. And we want God to forgive us, and we're glad that we're so happy God forgave us all the nasty things we did and don't want anybody to know about, things that embarrassed us. So he forgave us, so we're going to richly forgive others. When people do us wrong, just like we were forgiven, we need to forgive others. And if we forgive others, it gives them a chance to reconstruct their lives. There are many people that have hurt you and done you wrong. They wish they didn't do that. They wish they had done things different. They wish they could have done things different. Some people are on drugs, and some people were in alcohol and other problems. And everybody that's sinned don't really want to do that. They're trapped. They're entrapped. But they need somebody to represent God to them. Because God is ready to forgive them all their nasty sins and forget about it. That's his perfect will for our lives. And as we go forward doing the things of God, we learn who he is and how incredible his love is. And we're inspired to love other people. And then we can represent him right. And then people can live. And then people will go forward and not backwards. But if we hold on to petty strifes and envy, we can miss the point of everything good that God put in place for us. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Why go through all the trouble in this life and then miss God because you won't forgive? Now, if you don't, everybody that don't forgive others, their sins are retained. Your unforgiveness retains your sins. Even though Jesus forgave you, even though you believed on him, but when the people that you don't forgive, that's the reason you won't be going in the rapture. And that's also the reason you won't be going to heaven. Some people are sick on a deathbed. And it happens every now and then. They get the elders to come pray for them. They get pastors to pray for them. And then when unforgiveness is the problem, the Lord will give the people praying for them a word of knowledge that they need to forgive their sister or their brother or their uncle for whatever it was they did. And that happened to a friend of mine. He had cancer, and something happened with the insurance. Things just wasn't going right. And he prayed and asked the Lord, what was the problem? And the Lord said, you need to forgive your child's mother. And he went to her and forgave her and asked her to forgive him. And she didn't want to forgive him, but he forgave her, and everything fell in place. And he was healed. Strife. We have to get rid of it if we're going to live. Racial strife. People want equal rights. That's fine and dandy. I thank God for it. Everybody should be treated equal. Everybody should be treated fairly. Everybody should be treated with love. And we need to love everybody. Now, I forgave people ever since I've been a Christian. And I started with the worst ones. I knew if I could forgive the people that aggravated me the most, I could forgive anybody. And once I learned how important it is to forgive, I lived my life on guard to forgive. I was ready to forgive at any time and any moment. And I pray for people. Every time I forgive somebody, I pray for them as well. Because when you pray for somebody, you're bringing God in. If you're sincere about about forgiving people, and then you pray for them, that proves that you really care about them. Now, I don't just pray for people because I'm supposed to. When I give my wife a gift at Valentine's Day, it's because I love her. I really love her, and I want to give her something that she liked. She said she wanted a watch. I got her two. I love her. She's a good woman. If I give her $100, she's going to buy something for our daughter. She'll spend all of it on Olivia. If I surprise her with any money, she's going to buy something that Olivia need first. And it makes me want to do even more. Because I love her. Not because I'm supposed to. So it is with forgiveness. I care about people and I love people. Not just because I'm supposed to. Because I have a revelation that sin can be gone out of our lives through Jesus Christ. And if I represent him right, and if I can inspire people by the love of God and by faith. And knowing that we've been given this power, this blessing, we need to share it with other people. They need it. Whenever I see a family, there's nothing more beautiful on earth than a happy family. I say, Lord, bless them. If I'm at a restaurant somewhere, I say, bless all of them in Jesus' name. The more we operate in God's love, the easier it is to us to have faith in him. You know, when every time you love people that you know they're doing you wrong, they know they're doing you, and you love them anyway and pray for their best interest, and you forgive them and willing to forget about it, you forgive them, it's easy to believe that God has the same mercy on you. The scriptures tell us that, but we realize when we operate in the word, doing forgiving people just like God forgave us. See, we serve other people with the same love that God served you with, we serve others with. That's how we represent it. And it works so well. It's a wonderful thing. I love it. I love serving God and I love serving mankind. Now, all of these things are important. It's important to receive God's love and also give God's love. That goes far. The love of God goes far beyond science. It trumps science. Science can say all the wonderful things they come up with and what they find, but the love of God, they don't have any scientific facts for it, except for it does you good. Again, natural man in a fallen state is disconnected from the love of God and spiritual things. So when the love of God operates towards people and they know they did you wrong because they sinned against you and they know what they said against you, they know what they actually did against you, and you know it, but you love them anyway. And they don't understand the logic behind that, but they know it feels good. They've been talking about you. They've been doing people wrong. And you're the boss. And you give everybody a raise. And when they do something right, you brag on them anyway. You treat people the way you want to be, the way God treats you. You've done things you know you shouldn't have done. You've acted in ways you know the Lord saw in you, and you asked him to forgive you. And you wish you didn't have a mind to do some of the things that you do. And then you feel forgiven because you asked the Lord to forgive you. You know he's faithful and just to forgive. And it feels good to be forgiven. That's why we need to get rid of strife, envy and strife. And when you love people, people know it trumps everything. And if you can't agree, there are people you just not you can't come to an agreement with. There are Christians that you just can't come to an agreement with. But you can forgive them of their sin against you. And you can pray for them. And you can hope the best for them. You can believe God to help them in that way, wherever they need help, you can ask God to help. And when the opportunity arises and the door is open, the Lord will give you words to say that will make the difference. But not if you walk around slandering. Remember, slandering is murder. You're murdering that character. You know, God don't give you new mercies and not give them new mercies. He don't give the ex-husband new mercies and don't give the ex-wife new mercies. It don't work that way. He don't give the ex-wife new mercies and don't give the ex-husband new mercies. He don't give the obedient children new mercies and don't give the disobedient children new mercies. He give everybody new mercies. And that's how we need to represent him. By giving others new mercies every day. Whatever happened yesterday happened. It was bad. It was good. But today we're going to do good again. Towards you. Towards me. We're going to do right by each other. That's how the Lord need to find the church when he comes. Operating as if they believe that Jesus' blood washed away their ragged sins. And that's how I'm going to be found. And I'm not going to go around slandering people. You know, the Democrats need to forgive the Republicans. And the Republicans need to forgive all the Democrats. All of them. All the Democrats need to forgive all the Republicans. And all the Republicans need to forgive all the Democrats. So that we won't be left here. All the black people need to forgive all the white people. And all the white people need to forgive all the black people. If they had a problem. All the family members need to forgive all the other family members. All the ex-husband's family members need to forgive all the ex-wife's family members. And stop running them down. All the Auburn fans need to forgive all the Alabama fans. And all the Alabama fans need to forgive and pray for all the Auburn fans. That's how we have to do this thing. Play hard, win the game, but don't hold animosity. Don't let the enemy trick you with envy and strife. Because the point is, we need to love each other like God loved us. And again, I don't have a favorite race. I got a favorite football team. I want Alabama to win. But I'm going to be honest with you. I like to see a good play for whoever do it. Even if they against my own team. This is why. I love people. And I don't want Alabama to be given a game. I want them to earn it. I want to see them win with all the rules being obeyed. What I like about football, they all want to win, and I love it when they really want to win and they playing their best. And let the best team win. I thank God for them because these are people more than their teams. I enjoy sport. I'm not a very competitious person. But I like to see people putting forth their best effort. And that's what I like about sports. Somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose, whether they put their best efforts forth or not. And sometimes things happen, it's just entertaining. You know, they win by a fluke. And anything can happen when people are putting forth their best effort. But I love every soul. That's the point I'm trying to make. I love every soul just like God loved me. And I'm willing to forgive every soul if I have to. And forget about their wrong and build them up if I can. That's what God is after. And that's the way to be. And that's the way I live my life. And I appreciate it. It works. I thank God that I'm able to do such things. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.